Okay, let's go ahead and get started. It's a couple of minutes. It's actually 11:18. Thank you. Thank you for coming. My name is Raja Nori. Stay away from the speaker, I guess. I've been with the company for about 8 years, and project is not new to me. I'm a PMP by profession. I started my career at HP as a project manager implementing SAP for their services division in the Bay Area, and then had an opportunity to come work at Microsoft and had some interesting roles here, including finance, operations, marketing, and my current role is a solution sales professional. I have the responsibility for the U.S., and I work with my colleagues to help customers like you better understand project and its capabilities and help them to deploy. We are really lucky to have Doug Boglesby with us today. Doug is my colleague. He's from Canada. Doug, you want to take a minute and introduce yourself?
Thanks very much, Raja. So good morning still, I think, depending on whether or not you're on Eastern time or not. How loud is that mic? It's pretty loud. I'm blowing your heads off. I'm going to move it down. Navel height. Still pretty loud. All right, I'm going to get away from the front of the speaker. Maybe we're getting some feedback problems. So good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Doug Wellsby. I'm on the Microsoft Canada sub. I've been with Microsoft for about 14 years and have been doing and implementing Microsoft Project and Project Server since about 2000, since Project Central, one of the very first versions of this. The last 10 years, I've been in a solution sales role covering all of Canada for a while and then Eastern Canada. And 2 days ago, I started a new role, still within the project family, and a suite of products in the Center of Excellence. So I'm the global lead architect for the project sales business within Microsoft Project, based out of Canada still, but with some global responsibilities now. So my frequent flyer miles are bound to go up, and I'm really looking forward to that, honest. So Raja and I are going to walk you through the top 10 reasons today your manager is going to thank you, or as Raja has said,
well, I didn't want to
hurt you for using Microsoft Project. Go ahead.
Well, Valentine's Day is coming up, and I wanted to keep up with the theme without violating any HR rules. This is not that kind of love. This is more of an appreciation of your colleagues. So your organization, either your CEO or your manager, is gonna thank you for using Project. So we don't have, you know, personally, Doug and I don't have favorite top 10. I've got top probably 50 here. I would challenge you to take away top 10 that are most resonating with you. So this is going along with the theme. And I think, you know, I had an opportunity to go attend the keynote just like you did. And I was fairly excited to have some of these themes that we're going to talk about really communicated at a higher level by our executives. This is an opportunity. You know, Doug was being really modest. He is one of the top technical experts for Project for the company. So this is your opportunity to really ask some questions, let us understand your challenges that you're facing, and, you know, let's use this 75 minutes that we have today to have a really rich dialogue and conversation about how you use Project. You know, what capabilities are coming, previews that we saw at a higher level. Let's double-click on some of those capabilities and see how that resonates with you, whether you have some questions about that, how can we help clarify some of that, and then take away what makes sense to you out of the long list of things that we have. I'll be honest with you, I've got a lot of slides, but I don't intend to go through all of them. You know, I would encourage you to use this as your session and keep me away from the slides. We have got a demonstration environment that we can certainly go to and drill deeper into the product and the service. So let's keep it interactive. So really, you know, expanding beyond that theme that Jared and Ludo talked about today, what are some of the things, what are some of the challenges that you're trying to solve today? Whether it is bring your own device to work, bring from virtually anywhere, having the flexibility to be able to focus the IT resources not on the infrastructure, HIPAA, and operation and maintenance, but really look at IT as a partner to provide value-added service to the business. And using data as a competitive advantage to align your projects and your initiatives to the company initiatives. And having more visibility and control into how you operate day to day. With a show of hands, does this make sense to you? Is this something that you're dealing with today?
And we're not going to make you step up to the mic. Stick up your hand if anybody wants to volunteer something else that's a burning issue for them. And I'm going to start. So I'm basically seeing customers, feels like 7 days a week sometimes, in front of my clients in Eastern Canada and globally. And every one of them starts with resource management. They want to do resource management. So how many people here are struggling around resource management challenges, right?
Oh, there you go.
How do you feel about getting there on day one as your first step with a project portfolio management solution? Are you feeling, show of hands again, you think you can actually do it? Can you get there? Are all the pieces in place? So the pieces are in place, I think, as far as the tool set's concerned. But what many of the organizations I deal with recognize almost immediately is that the process within their organization, their maturity around a project and portfolio management solution, is just not there for them to get a grip around how many resources do we have access to, what's our capacity, and then what's the overlying demand on those resources in terms of keeping the lights on type activities, in terms of in-flight and newly proposed projects as we move forward, in terms of absenteeism, vacation, training, admin time, other things that take up their day-to-day schedules. So resource management's big, but one of the things we'd like to talk you through today and address with you as we work through that, why your CEO is going to love that, why he's going to need to wait for that a bit, maybe 6 months, maybe a year, until you grow your implementation and grow your processes. Raja?
Right. The other challenge that I hear all the time is, and I think we met with somebody over breakfast today who was talking about this thing, that portfolio management is great, right? But really getting an agreement to come up with those 5 or 10 initiatives across the company that everybody can agree upon, and aligning all the initiatives to those 5 or 10, so having that governance is also important. And what can the service or the tool provide you so that you can actually facilitate that conversation, have workflow automation put in place so that everybody has a clear understanding of the expectations, and then everybody's working towards a same standard process. So having said that, let's focus on 4 different, I want to call buckets here. And then we'll frame the presentation and the conversation and discussion, including the demonstration, based on those. So taking actions, you know, is one of the way I call it, in the sense that getting started quickly, as Doug was mentioning, around task management or time management, accessing virtually anywhere. What are some of the things that Doug and I like about the product and the service that we want to share with you, and hopefully that resonates with you? Flexible portfolio management, effectively managing resources, improving governance and control. We'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll talk about the capabilities and features. I've got a lot of screenshots in here, so anything that makes sense to you, raise your hand. I'll repeat your question, and then we'll drill into that a little bit. At some point, I'll ask Doug to help us better understand via demonstration as well. Collaboration, I think this is the biggest one for me. There are so many different ways of collaborating. The way I collaborate, the way I communicate, is very different than what you might do, is very different than somebody within the organization might do. We have got 4 different generations of workers in the workplace today. We're really lucky and fortunate to have that, right? So what can the tool and the service do to accommodate all different types of communicators, collaborators, all different types of project managers out there? When I was practicing project management full-time as a quality control or test manager for HP, I did not use project management as is evangelized by PMP, There were some internal processes within the company that I had to adhere to. And then I had my nuances on how I wanted to get my work done. My style of operation was different. So again, that collaboration is a big piece for me, at least. Agility and control, I think that's important. That speaks to helping IT become a better business partner and stay relevant. There are many ways, in my opinion today, with the consumerization of IT, it's very easy, or it should be, I should say it's easy for business partners to go out and acquire tools if they perceive that it either takes too long to get those via IT channels. So again, you know, helping you to better understand what are the capabilities out there that you can leverage today and implement easily so that your organization is going to appreciate you more. Okay. And Doug, keep me honest here. Stop me if I'm not making a particular point. If you feel that you can add a couple of examples in here. I think first thing that I like about the new project web app is having a simple guide. Everybody has got the same standard way of operating. You go here, this is your landing page to get all information about project, about the initiative that the company has asked you to work on, right? So you're setting the right expectations by having a standard, simple guide of where to go. Very, very basic concept, but if it is not available, you know, the way I think about sometimes things is that, what is it that I'm using, and if it wasn't there, how would I do that, right? And that kind of keeps me in, more motivated and continuously improving the product or the service that I'm not only using, but I'm making available across the organization. Having visual cues, very simple thing, right? But having a timeline view up on the top helps everybody better understand what are we executing today, what have we done in the past, what are the milestones that are coming up in the future, and having a timeline view and have a work breakdown view at the bottom all there. It's a visual cue. Everything is in my front face. I have all the information available. Now I have the ability to drill down. Again, very basic concept, but it's important to have the big picture from the get-go. One location, right? One location for all your project artifacts. Now, this can be very different for the way you operate, the way your organization operates, right? Some organizations are very email heavy. Some organizations are very social heavy or becoming social heavy. Some organizations use SharePoint for everything, and some organizations don't, right? They still have their file shares in the back end somewhere, right? But having the opportunity to have one location for all your project artifacts, whether it's a SharePoint site or a project site, is pretty powerful. Did you have a question in the back? Okay. Familiarity of the experience is pretty important. I think it's less of what you do, but in the sense that what the service makes available. So having the contextual toolbar, having the menu column on the left-hand side being consistent across, and if everybody's using the product or the service, having it available makes it easier for the user adoption and for the usage. I think this is a key in today's world. I want to be able to work anytime. I want to be able to work anywhere. And I want to take action regardless of whether I'm on an iPad, I'm on my iPhone, a tablet, a PC, or a modern browser. I'll share a personal example with you. I've got three kids, and they're young. My oldest is 11, my youngest is 5, and boy, do they keep me busy, right? So my weekends are going to debate tournaments, going to soccer practices, going to swimming classes, whatever, and I'm standing there while my kids are doing their activities. I'm, you know, waiting for them to finish their activities. I want to be able to get work done while I'm doing that, right? If I have my smartphone and if I got my project information on it, I'm able to get my work done, so that I'm able to spend quality time when we are together as a family, but I'm also able to balance my life as my kids are going through their activities. It's important to bring my own device into the organization and use my data anytime, anywhere, and take actions. I think this story is not complete, in my opinion. I think we are in the early stages from a project perspective. I was really excited to hear about some of the apps that the partner community is developing in this particular area. So my background is also engineering. I also develop apps on my free time whenever I have it. And one of the ideas that I'm working on is to build an app for project for Windows 8. And I want to make it available to the community where the team members are, you know, most team members are interested in doing their task updates, their time management. They want to get access to the read and review of the project artifacts, and they want to get access to the issues and risks. They don't want to have to go to PWA to do all of that, right? That's one of the ways that we evangelize how you use the product and service. Wouldn't it be nice to just have a tile on Windows 8? You go here, you got everything that you want is available right over there. You click on that, whether it takes you to PWA or whatever, that simple step of having a tile in the Windows 8 desktop just makes it a little bit more easier for the user adoption, especially if you're on a tablet device. Again, we talked a little bit about Project Web App, and I think the purpose of this particular slide that Doug and I wanted to put over here was just reemphasize you don't have to be limited to an Internet Explorer. You can be in a modern browser, use Project Web App virtually anywhere from Chrome, Firefox, Safari, or IE. Okay. This one, I think, is on top of my books with respect to staying evergreen with the project client software. Now, I'm a firm believer that not everybody in the organization is going to be needing a full-blown project management client software on their device, right? Project Web App is a pretty darn good tool for people to interact with project data and get the information that is important for them to get their work done. But having the ability, getting out of the management of the desktop and having the ability to install client software with click-to-run technology, I think it's to me, it's mind-blowing, where I can install once up to 5 devices, right? I can not only get to my project data on any of those devices, but I can also stay evergreen without IT ever having to touch my desktop for that. I think that's pretty powerful. Okay, let's get into the next pillar here around flexibility. And I think, you know, Doug talked a little bit about the resource management as one of the top things that he hears about it. Doug, do you want to chime in on this particular slide?
Sure, I could. So I mentioned resource management earlier. How many of you are struggling with your resource workload around non-project activities, how busy they are day-to-day with work outside of plain old projects that they're particularly assigned to? Anyone want to talk to how they're handling that? I have some suggestions, and I want to talk about how you can use the tool for some of this and demonstrate a couple of things and walk you through that. Anyone care to speak up about what they're doing to handle that non-working time, that non-project working time that eats into resources capacities, or are you looking for solutions? Yeah, you're looking for? Well, I'm going to flip the projector over to my machine. And I didn't want to interrupt the flow with Raja. I just wanted to talk about quickly that always up to date in the click to run scenario with Microsoft Project. So when you're subscribing to Microsoft Project, VR, Office 365, and Project Online subscriptions, when you have Project Professional installed on your workstation with a click to run subscription, it is always up to date. Optionally, you can control that. But what we mean by that is that your particular workstation is always going to have Office updates downloaded and installed on your machine for you, auto magically. So that's going to appear on your workstation every time we release a new version of that to Project Online and a new version of Microsoft Project Professional out there. So my update options include the ability to disable that. We can also control that. The IT department can control that through group policy, so we can restrict how often those updates are pushed out to those various workstations. And we go out and view the updates that have been installed on this particular workstation. So here's our previous versions that we've revved through over the last year since this product's been on the market. It came out in February of this past year, 2013. And we see all these different versions that we've gone through, and each and every one of those was pushed down to my workstation to fix bugs, to introduce some new functionality into the solution. We saw some of that this morning during the keynote when they talked about Project Online and some of the new features and functionality it introduced. And we're doing that in the Project Pro client as well, pushing that out. So you're always up to date with that click-to-run technology and pushing that down to your workstation via that click-to-run solution. So around resource management, I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes talking about a little-known feature within the tool called a resource plan. Now, resource plans aren't new. They've been around for several different versions. I think they were first introduced in 2007. I'm getting to the point where they're all kind of blending together. I've been working on this for many, many different releases, so sometimes I'll need to be reminded when something first came out. Who's seen or used a resource plan or even knows what that is? A few of you do, right? And if you worked with that and thought about using a resource plan, not for predicting when you'd need resources for in-flight projects, but for using them to consume resource availability within your organization for in-flight, let's call that keeping the lights on type activities within your organizations. Anyone doing that? Because I often table that. We got one guy in the back here that knows all about this. That's great. So a resource plan within a Microsoft project can consist basically of a list of activities, proposed activities, or proposed time, rather, that various resources are going to be working within a particular project. So the project doesn't have to be something that you're actually ever going to create tasks within, build a work breakdown structure, actually assign resources to work. All this project might be is right from within the project center, you might go into your projects there, propose a new project, and that new project from that list that you can select from might just be called keeping the lights on activities, or it might be IT infrastructure work related to maybe somebody staffed on the help desk or somebody working elsewhere in another part of the business where they're doing their day job, let's say 50% of the time, and the other 50% of the time they're available for work on project plans. So we create this new keeping the lights on type of project, and then we build a resource plan to associate with that. Again, we have no tasks, we have no work breakdown structure yet. We've maybe defined this project as starting on, let's say, 1st of January, running for a year, and what we're going to try and do here is we're going to try and capture the fact that some of these resources are no longer available, let's say 50% of their time or varying amounts of time over that year for assignment on project plans. So in this particular case, I have this resource plan that I've set up. I've gone and give it a specific date range that this is going to run from. In this case, I'm running 1st of October through to the end of January. I've gone and said that I want to work in work units of, in this case, full-time equivalents as opposed to hours, days. Those are the options, hours, days, and full-time equivalent, rather. And then my time scale that I have chosen for this particular demo, I've picked months, although we can go as granular as days, or you might want to go high level when you set something up to basically consume resource availability for the entire year. You might pick quarters or years, and then just assign a value to that particular resource that's being consumed. So you see what this ends up looking like over this four-month period, October through to January. I've consumed these resources with varying degrees here, 0.5 of an FTE, 1 FTE. I've predicted for this particular project I'm going to need, in this case, 2 analysts, then 3, then 3, then 1. But if I'm just using human resources and trying to eat up their availability, I would pick these names here, Aaron, Adam, etc., and assign varying levels of FTE workload within this plan for them. So what that end result of doing that is that as we look at the resource availability for Aaron or Adam or Alex, all of a sudden their capacity for work is diminished by that amount. We've consumed their time and said 0.5, or in Adam's case, 0.25 of his time or the following 4 months is going to be assignment onto this particular project. And the capacity of that resource is now 0.75 of an FTE. So he's immediately been diminished. So if you have a team of resources that are staffing the help desk, 50% of their work week, and the other 50% of the time they're available for work on projects, rebuilding servers, deploying PCs, whatever else they might do, you can consume capacity with this type of resource plan. Now don't forget this one important variable up here, the calculate from area. And I want to make sure we don't forget that. So right now I'm saying calculate from the project plan. This is an in-flight project that I'm using. But if you say calculate from the resource plan, basically that what that means is that particular resource's workload is going to be driven from this resource plan we've created here, as opposed to an actual project plan with resources assigned to tasks within that. And there's a third setting, the project plan until, we can get into if somebody wanted to ask some questions about that later on. And we do have a question in the back. We'll repeat it rather than making you go up to the microphone. Go ahead. Well, there might be some people in the audience that have got some different thoughts on that. But for me, trying to schedule that out, build into a plan, such as assigning a help desk activity and assigning resources to that within a project plan, and then pushing that out for an entire year to reduce their capacity, for me, that's a lot of work when you could simply go into a resource plan like this and assign that resource to a keeping the lights on type project. No work breakdown structure, no tasks, no fake assignments, no requirement for them to report their time against that project plan. And if you're doing timesheets, they could capture the time that they worked on the help desk just as an administrative type activity within that timesheet, right? So for me, this is a real simple way, a simple approach to, you know, keeping in mind what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to reduce their capacity and their availability for other projects, actual work. So for me, this is a real simple way to approach that. You're not asking them to report on what they were actually doing during that period necessarily, but they could within a timesheet.
Why couldn't you just reduce their default allocation?
You could reduce their default allocation across projects, but it's tough to vary that over time. Some of these resources might be assigned to the help desk for the entire year at 50% of their time. Other ones might go away on another project or a special projects offering somewhere else, and you could capture that in a resource plan very nicely. You could, you know, at a high level here, we're doing this on a month-by-month basis, but at a very high level, you could show them as 50% available and then zero availability over a period of time because they're seconded to another team to work on a special project effort.
So can I ask a question as well, Doug?
Yeah.
If the organization is working on, say, agile software development projects, right, can they use a resource plan like that to lock in resources for different sprints?
You could. So, I mean, we could assign resources into a project plan that has no tasks and lock those resources going forward by committing them via a resource plan here. So, effectively, they're not available for other projects at all. And if we're working with TFS or working with another type of tool where we're actually scheduling them and actually consuming those hours, if you don't have the TFS integration working, and we don't have a project online right now, as you may be aware. But if you don't have that integrated, we're not worried about what they're actually doing or what the detailed task assignments are. We're just consuming their capacity. Okay.
Okay.
Desktop six.
Did that make sense? Okay. So preempting, you know, a couple of my other slides, Doug, if I could ask you to go back to your screen, I wanted to request if we wanted to do an analysis, once we created this resource plan, if you wanted to do an analysis of, okay, what's my capacity versus what's my demand? Can I pick a couple of resources there and better understand from the tool and the service to give me that information so that as I'm going through my planning exercise, I have a much better way to plan? Could you do that?
So we can, and those of you who've used the portfolio analysis area of the tool may be well aware that we can do that within this particular strategy area. So if we went through to do a resource analysis on a particular portfolio of projects, what we're going to see very quickly is that we have capacity for some of these projects and don't have capacity for other ones. And that resource plan that we built that where we assigned myself, Raja, others to a, I'll call it a dummy project, to a keeping the lights on type activity project, that's going to show up here in this particular area. We're going to see diminished resource availability as a result of that person being assigned to a resource plan and their capacity for work on other projects reduced. So that'll help you with your portfolio planning, looking forward into the future to understand where your resources are not available.
Cool. Thank you.
You want to go back to your slides?
Yeah, please. Okay. Let me flip through a couple of other ones. So this is one of the ones that that I wanted to see in the tool as well. If I were to click on one of those resources that Doug had created in the resource plan, and I wanted to better understand, look, I really want Alex or John to be assigned to this particular activity, but do they have bandwidth to be able to take on, right? As a project manager, I may request certain resources for my project and for the initiative that I'm tasked with. Their managers in a metrics organization might be able to make that decision whether, you know, how can they balance their workload to be able to work on the project like that. So having a visual cue like this and the ability to drill down in a tabular format below it to have a clear understanding of the capacity versus demand for either the individuals or the roles that I'm looking for my project, but at the same time having a clear understanding of what are these resources or individuals are working on today gives me a better framework to have that give and get conversation with the right resource managers within the organization. This particular view for dragging and dropping the tasks or the resources within my plan is pretty powerful, and Doug showed it to me earlier on as we were preparing for the session. And if you haven't explored that, I would encourage you to go take a look at it. So after the session, both Doug and I are going to make ourselves available. So if you have any specific questions on any of these and you're not comfortable asking those questions right now, feel free to come up and we can drill into that later. Now, timesheets. Talked about timesheets, and I cannot begin to tell you how many times I get the feedback from the customers that, look, I'm tired of sending my emails back and forth to my team. I want them to give me the data that I need so that I can manage my my three C's for my project. But I don't want them to be inundated with emails, and that's one of the less satisfying areas for team members to be working on a project, to be continuously asked for updates by the project managers or other people who are overseeing the progress of the project. Having ability to go to PWA, go to timesheet, have all your projects listed there that you're working on, and then enter your data in there so that it can automatically get updated into the system, I think that's pretty powerful in reducing the email traffic and the noise within the organization. We are big on visual cues today. So this, again, having the ability to use other platform tools like Visio right within the project to get a visual understanding of what are the roadblocks within the workflow or the processes within the organization that you're executing. Where are we stuck? What do we need to do to make some changes? I think that enables that decision-making process a little bit faster. Imagine if you were to screenshot this, send this into an email to a decision-making manager saying that, look, I'm stuck over here. I need your help to solve this problem for me. I'm sure that would be a much better conversation to have than trying to explain to them what is it that you're trying to solve. Having a visual cue is important. Yes, yes, ma'am. Pardon me? Not necessarily. So let me chime in here, and then I'm going to ask Doug to give his feedback as well. Now, this particular view, I think, in my opinion, is that you have a workflow that has been created within the organization, right, that has been designed, and you're executing it. What this is telling you is that what is happening at each stages of that particular workflow. So this is a visual representation of that workflow being executed within the organization. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this is the SharePoint Designer or the Visio interface for actually building those workflows. And you've maybe seen what they look like within the actual solution when you're following. Excuse me, let me go back over here to this other view here. When you're following a particular project and looking at the overall workflow for that, you'll see a visual indicator right there, that workflow status that's surfaced there. That's the result of having built out that workflow, having added the different stages for approvals. You can build that within SharePoint Designer. You can build that within Visio as well within 2013. And then having published that, this is the visual representation you'll have of that workflow as it goes through. Now, there's some better tools for doing that, not just the SharePoint tools or the Visio tools that we produce, but one of our partners that's here, the Nintex company, has an add-in and a designer for their workflow. It's just wonderful to use that. Makes things a lot simpler to get going with workflows within the tool set. And back to you, Raj.
Okay, thanks. Okay, continuing to click through here, I think many of the organization, not all, but let me just ask this question. Do any of your organization, within your organization, is SharePoint used for light project management, for creating tasks or keeping track of things? Okay, I see a few of the hands going up. I see that consistently where the PMO or the IT organization might use project PPM heavily, and then the business users might use SharePoint for using light project management because they're probably not ready or comfortable using project PPM for its full capabilities. But I think having the ability within the business to be able to promote SharePoint items, a list item, to an enterprise class project to be able to manage as part of the portfolio, I think having that that flexibility is pretty powerful. Did that make sense? I think we talked a little bit about workflows. I'm not going to drill into that, but the key takeaway point here is that you can leverage workflows for process automation within the organization and reduce the churn and the noise. Okay, Doug has walked us through a little bit on the portfolio analysis, and I think during the keynote we also saw Mike walk through the portfolio analysis. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this particular one, but my suggestion would be if you're not using this capability today, look into it, leverage it, tying your organizational initiatives tying your organization's goals and visions to the initiatives that you're executing to better understand what is it that you're executing today, what's in the pipeline that is coming in, so that you can make a factual decision, a data-driven decision to understand and make recommendations of what is it that we need to stop doing, what is it that we need to continue doing, and what is it that we need to start working on for the future roadmap for the organization. And then take that data and then take it to the next step. Do we have enough resources available today to continue what we're doing and to keep the lights on? What additional resources are we going to need so that we can continue to take on more work, and what resources we can reallocate and balance to be able to stop working on non-value-added activities anymore. Excuse me. Collaboration. I could spend days on this, but this particular one for the link integration, I believe the lady during the keynote talked about and showed the link integration with Project Client. I think Mike showed link integration with Project Online, pretty powerful tool. Personally, I use it every day, not just for project, for all my productivity services and tools that I use within the company. Makes my life a lot easier. Having team mailboxes. Now, this is a SharePoint capability that you can leverage in project. Do any of you leverage site mailboxes or team mailboxes for any of your projects today? I see some hands nodded. This particular one is, in my opinion, is very powerful, especially to manage the turnover and the change within the organization. I think having the IP not locked within the inboxes and having it available on a SharePoint site or a project site just makes it a lot easier from the governance and control perspective and knowledge sharing perspective. You know, if people change jobs all the time. People leave or come into the organization, to the projects all the time. Makes it a lot easier for people to get to speed, go find stuff, what's happened in the past, and have one-stop shop of having all the information available. Pretty powerful. Simple thing. Take a screenshot, send it to somebody. We weren't able to do that before, but having the ability to do that, take a screenshot of your timeline, send it to an executive who's been asking for a particular update, so without them having to go to the PWN, get the same information. Very quick way to communicate, very powerful in my opinion. I think Doug showed a little bit of that when he was talking about the evergreen updates, but this is going a step beyond that and saving and syncing your project either to SharePoint or to your project site, having the ability to do that and keep everything in sync so that it doesn't matter whether you are on your PC or your tablet or any other device, having all the project data available is pretty important.
Roger, can I steal the stage?
Yeah.
Okay. So Raja and I had a bit of a debate this morning as to whether or not to talk about Project Pro Sync to SharePoint functionality. Who's never heard of Sync to SharePoint or Sync with SharePoint, however you want to call it? Most of you are aware of what this functionality is. I have a slide here that I often talk through with my customers about increasing levels of complexity and increasing sizes of the organization that is actually using project or consuming some of this project information. So let's take it from individuals to teams to the enterprise, low, medium, and high. We all know that for a low level of complexity project for an individual, what are you going to choose as your product? It's going to be Microsoft Project, I hope. And if anybody was about to say Excel, lunch is coming. You'll need some nutrition. Okay, not Excel, hopefully. So next level of complexity, medium, team, what are you going to do? Are you going to roll out Project Server, or is that going to be a little too much for your organization? And Project Pro with SharePoint supporting it in the background is a great solution for right-sizing the solution that you have for your project management needs. Forget about an enterprise tool for right now if you're not ready. Let's not try and deploy Project Server for project management if the organization doesn't have executive support for that, funding to get a partner to come in and help you deploy that. If you're not mature enough within your organization's project portfolio management, kind of skill sets, let's not address that. Let's take it down to the team level with a tool like Microsoft Project with SharePoint. So here's Microsoft SharePoint. Although this is hosted on my Project Online site, let's just forget that Project Server or Project Online is in the background. This is just plain old SharePoint, 2013 release. And what I've done is I've connected a Microsoft Project plan to this site. So if I open up Project Pro, here's that same plan within Project Pro. I've got a simple series of tasks that I'm working on. I've got resources assigned to those. And I can share that information out with others within the organization without requiring Project Server or Project Online in the background so that others can view that Gantt chart, can view the information in that project plan, and can provide me feedback on their status, on their tasks as they're working through them. So here's my simple plan. Up on that site, I see the same carousel choice of either the project summary or a task list here, different views of that. And if I go through the tasks, we have a Gantt chart view being rendered there that actually shows me that information in the same level of details I see within Project Pro. And with resources assigned to that, these resources can very easily go in and status their work in terms of percent complete that they are in those particular tasks and provide that, yes, I see that, Roger, and provide that feedback back to the project manager via a synchronization step between Project Pro and SharePoint. So you had a question, sir?
Is that
It is. That was released in 2010. And so Microsoft Project Pro, working with SharePoint, let's be clear, it's a pro feature, so it's not available standard, but Project Pro can sync to SharePoint. You do require the same version of the SharePoint product and the Project product. So Project 2010 with SharePoint 2010, 2013 with 2013, to keep those in step, okay? So this is, I'm going to say this is a low-tech way of collaborating with others within your organization. It's not just simply a SharePoint task list, but we have a project plan that's editable by a project manager within Pro. They can use that product to build out their entire schedule, publish it, share it, and get feedback from resources on their status. There's a couple of gotchas. Okay, you got to be aware of a couple of things. No security on this list. So Robin could come in and status her tasks, and I could come in and status Garth's tasks as well. So there's no item level security in here. It's a team, we're working together, we're trusting each other, we're providing status updates on those various tasks, and we're hoping we're not going to step on each other's toes in terms of updating someone else's assignments for them, all right? So we can do that within Project Server, we can provide that level of security against assignments and who can update and status them, but here it's a team-based environment, so we can't do that within this particular interface. The other thing is, one thing you're not getting with this low-tech solution is you're not getting information about resource capacity or the demand on them. We're not amalgamating various project plans to get an all-up view of how busy Doug or Robin or Garth is across various projects. It's one at a time. It's working within a small team. It's a project manager and his particular group of people that are working on a plan, but we're missing all of the greatness that comes with an enterprise solution with Project Server in terms of resource capacity, demand modeling, portfolio modeling, everything else. So it's one at a time, a low-tech solution. And again, it meets that middle-of-the-road requirement there for work group collaboration and reporting, all right? Don't overlook that in your organizations and as a partner working with customers as you're helping them grow their maturity. This is a great solution to get people started within that particular workload. Raja, back over to you.
Okay, thanks. So I'm just doing a time check. We have got about half an hour for more for this session. What Doug and I are covering today, is this helpful? Is this value to you? Is this making sense? Do you have any specific questions or anything on those two or three pillars that we have already covered that are a challenge for you today that maybe you want to talk about? Yes, sir. Like currency or?
Like holidays and stuff that's
planned, or do you try and use the calendar, but localize calendar? So let me see if I can clarify so that you know that I understood it. You're asking me, in addition to managing their non-project time during the resource plan, can you put in some additional blocks for vacation, for other things, correct? Am I saying it correctly? Doug, I don't know the answer to that. Do you know the answer to that?
So the answer is no. We're not gonna propose that you would do that. So there's a couple of different components to your question. One is about regionalization of calendars, right? So Raj is in the U.S., I'm in Canada. He might celebrate 4th of July. I'll celebrate 1st of July. And so our calendars are going to be very different between those regions. And you'll need to implement within your Project Server deployment various calendars to support those different regions. Even interstate within the U.S., for example, there'll be different calendar requirements for those people. The other type of calendar that you might have to commit for or to assign resources with is a calendar where somebody's maybe working on a part-time schedule. Or think of somebody who works a compressed work week. They have every second Friday off, for example. So you might end up building a couple of different enterprise calendars to assign a resource to. So this is the resource's standard working calendar based on regions where they're working, different work schedules, et cetera. But to account for vacation time and those discrepancies within a person's regular rhythm of work when they're out of the office, that's where if you're using the timesheeting capability of the solution, that mm-hmm. resource can go in,
yeah.
can look forward for their timesheet, off into the future, maybe in the month of July, they're going to be off for 2 weeks, and they can go in and mark themselves as being on vacation by opening up and creating a timesheet for that period, marking those 5 days or 10 days off that they're gone, and immediately after they've saved that, the project will see that as an exception in their calendar, and the project tool will schedule around it, will know that they have zero availability during that period. So you can use timesheets to capture the information as well. And then I guess the last part of the answer I'd like to provide is that I'm going to try and find a slide that talks to it. I know I have one in here somewhere, right there. So within 2013, we also have some exchange. Oops, sorry about that. We also have some exchange and project server integration that's going on. So if project server and exchange server, you're working within either on-premise, they're aware of each other, or online, we have a couple of rules that we've put in place. But essentially, if someone is in their calendar out of office for more than 4 hours in any one particular day, we're showing them as having no availability on that particular day. So we decrement it. Whereas, for example, in the Tuesday example that I have here, I'm only out of the office for a couple of hours in the morning, so there's no impact on my availability within the Microsoft Project's capacity modeling functionality, all right? So that's in 2013. That's documented on TechNet. I just put that slide up, showed that to customers, how we can kind of visualize that, either a full day out or a couple of blocks where you're out of office, and that's the kicker, all right? It's if you've marked a calendar event as showing out of office that will diminish their capacity.
Sir, did you have a question? So let me see if I understand your question correctly. You're saying on-premises you have Project Server 2010 standardized with Project Professional 2010 client, and you want to integrate for emails, for example, through the online solution for either Office 365 or somebody else, correct? Am I saying it correctly?
Well, let's say our enterprise already has a solution.
Yeah.
So Raja, I think I
go
understand
ahead,
the question.
Okay.
All right. So the Office 365 branding that we have, that particular solution, it has a variety of different functionality that you can purchase within that family of products, let's call it. So on-premise, you can buy Exchange Server. On-premise, you can get SharePoint Server. You can get Link. You can get other tools within our family of products. And online, you can do the same thing. You can purchase Project Online as a service without having any other enterprise solutions from our O365 family. So you can just purchase that as a subscription. So if you're using Exchange or another Lotus Notes, some other Exchange, or sorry, email solution, if you're using something else for document and records management on-premise, no problem. You can move to the cloud with just Project Online only. And I want to say I'm hoping that we're going to come out with a rebranding, by the way, of the Project Online name in the next little while. We've got that Project Lite SKU that we announced this morning, and I do know that we're searching for a better name. We're going to try and do that. But we have Exchange Online, we have SharePoint Online, and we have Project Online. And that's been a little confusing for my customers because it really should be called Project Server Online, because there is the server-side solution, and then there's the client tool as well, Project Professional, right? And we've got that long, unwieldy name. Project Pro for Office 365 is horrible. But when I'm talking about Project Online, I mean our server solution in the cloud, Project Online, you can buy that just as a tool set by itself. In fact, that's what I'm doing my demos with. Project Online, I don't have Exchange, I don't have any other tools there supporting that particular demo environment. Does that answer that question? Is that what you're looking for? Okay, a little too much info maybe. In the back?
Yeah, so do you need to buy SharePoint Online? Do you need Project Online?
No. The answer is no. SharePoint is one of the supporting technologies with Project Online, but when you purchase Project Online as part of your subscription, you'll see under the hood that SharePoint is available. So I'm going to flip back over to my demo environment and just show you what that looks like. So in this particular area here, here's my project web app, my online presence. If I go into admin, I can go in and administer my SharePoint environment. And what you're going to see is that SharePoint's there. It's under the hood. It's driving all of this. But it's not actually a pure SharePoint online subscription that I've purchased. It's just and only Project Online that I have. So if I go into Office 365, you'll see my, come on, I love it when that happens.
So when you purchase Project Online, SharePoint is provisioned for you automatically. It's not
If you go in and look at the licensing here, you'll see what I have. I've got Project Online with Project Pro for 0365. I've got a subscription here and licenses, but there's no SharePoint involved there whatsoever. It's provided as part of your Project Online subscription. Lots of questions.
Sir.
Go ahead.
So along the same lines, my company has a repository for all the data, reports, it doesn't talk to each other, project, and I, my question is, top three scenarios, share, Project Online and Project Server. I may have talked a little bit about it, but I'm still unclear with the differences.
So is the question, so let me try and repeat your question, and then I have a clarifying question for you, sir. You're saying that in your company you have historically a repository for project artifacts data, and you're trying to decide whether to stay with the project server on premises or go to project online. So are you, while making that decision, and here's the clarifying question, are you asking that question because of migration?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to give you my personal opinion, right? And then I'll ask Doug to chime in as well. So I think the decision that you're trying to make needs to be decided based on the information architecture, right? What is it that you're trying to do with that data? Can it be kept at its current location without you having to incur additional costs, for example, or access limitations, for example, or is that data where it is today, is that going to hinder some business process going forward, right? If the answer to that is no, then you want to consider maybe migrating part or all of that data to an online environment, right, and then consider Project Online. I think what you do with that data is probably more important as a question to answer, and then you want to decide whether Project Server on premises or Project Online is going to be a better fit for your organization. There were a whole bunch of other hands, and I apologize, I did not capture. Yes, sir.
Does Project Pro 2010 work with Project Online?
No, sir. You got to have 2013.
Okay,
now, just with regards to that, if you're on 2010 and you want to get to 2013, we can talk to you after the fact, or we can work with point you to your licensing specialist. But you can get to 2013. In a variety of different ways, and we've got some programs right now, some licensing arrangements that might be able to help you, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Yes, sir.
I have one more.
Yeah.
I'm a partner with Microsoft, and we're referring Project Online sales
okay.
to clients.
Thank you.
I get a lot of questions about competitive analysis, which are a little bit out of my domain of expertise. Is there anything that you have that compares it to other platforms in the industry?
Yeah, let's take that one offline. I'd be more than happy to help you out. We'll point you to your to the fellow that works in your region, the person that works in your region that's the solution sales. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I know that the product team is actually helping partners with that type of information right now. So I think your feedback would be very important. Any other questions? Okay. I think we covered this a little bit during the keynote. This is the Yammer integration within. Just doing a time check, quick time check, with project data. Again, I'm going back to my comment earlier on that we got four generations of workers within the organization today. The way I communicate may be different than how you communicate or some of the other team members communicate. I think having the ability to have an electronic water cooler integrated with your project day-to-day activities is I think, just tremendous value add. Without saying much more about this, as we have already covered it, one-stop shop, one project site, one location to go for all your project data, all your project artifacts, everything that you need to do that is security controlled, I think is pretty powerful. Again, leveraging the goodness of the SharePoint platform on which project is built upon. We talked about charts during the keynote. Again, the purpose of me repeating that information here is so that I can impart with you the features and the capabilities that Doug and I appreciate about the service, and maybe you can leverage some of that as part of your top 10 list. So I'm going to double click very, very quickly here because we got about 10 more minutes left in the session. Doug, was there anything else that you wanted to show in addition to what we have here so that I can, you know, slow down? Because I need to go to the last pillar there and make a couple of points.
Keep it going?
Okay. We talked a little bit about that, making data-driven decision. The reason the screenshot looks similar is because we're looking this into a project web app, the timeline view, the portfolio view, and if I had better part of the screenshot on the right, we would see a Gantt chart as well. That looks similar to what we saw in the project professional where the screenshot was during the earlier part of the slides. Project overview dashboards. I think I had asked Doug earlier on when we were preparing for the session to really show how quickly you can put together dashboards using Excel and having a connection with OData with Project Online. But I think Mike had shown that during the keynote, so we're going to go ahead and skip that. It's very powerful and it's very easy. Even I can do it. Okay. Let's talk about the increased agility and control, and I've got a couple of slides here that I think I want to share with you here in this particular area. I think having a service that is secure and always on and getting away from that 24/7 service and support from within your IT organization that is managing your infrastructure, I think that's pretty powerful. It communicates the value proposition in itself, but I think Jared had talked about, I think it was Jared or Ludo who had talked about the service improvements that we have done with the massive investments in infrastructure from Microsoft perspective. I think I would encourage you to look at those stats again. Consider the value-added services that IT can provide to the business by getting away from infrastructure maintenance and operation, but providing a service to the business as a business partner. That's pretty powerful. Doug showed a screenshot of that. Doug showed it in real time. Here's a screenshot of that. It's an integrated admin experience with SharePoint so that you can easily set up and add resources and adjust security permissions as you need to get your work done within the organization. Simplified administration is the key here. Not many people know about this, and this is one of the biggest things that I think can reduce the work in IT. There's a concept in SharePoint called delegated administration within Office 365. So things like, I forgot my password. I need to call IT to get that reset. Or I lost my phone. It's got company data. I need to get it wiped, right? I need to call IT to be able to do that. Wouldn't it be nice if there was a administrative delegation for these selected tasks within business so that IT can get out of the business of supporting this low-value-add tasks but focus on the high-priority items? Well, that allows you to do exactly that. You can provide that capability, the selective administrative capability, select roles within the business, and those can have an administrative tab on their Office 365 environment. Those people can go in and do exactly those things and provide that first tier of support to the business as it is needed for the, what I call low value added activities. apps. It's all about the apps. There's an app for that. Okay, I think we talked a little bit about that, having an app catalog within the organization where you can develop either internally or with the help of a partner apps that are pertinent to within your organization to customize the environment or to use the service as you intend to versus going to the public app store. Having that flexibility is important. And the trust center, we have gone through that as well. I don't think I have any more slides, but I would welcome any other questions that you might have. Hopefully what Doug and I shared with you today has been helpful to better understand the capabilities of the service, and hopefully you can take away from this as your top 10 list. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I'm going to ask Doug to respond to that.
So I'm not sure I'm following the, you say the demand management process and all the different disciplines involved in that. Are you talking about the different competencies, skill sets, or are we talking about disciplines here such as application lifecycle management, innovation management, et cetera? Okay, so a couple of comments on that. The using the platform itself I'm not talking about Project Server. I'm talking about SharePoint as an underlying platform. Using that to put in place tools for innovation, for new product development. Using SharePoint to build websites where people can collaborate around those processes. That helps you to tie all that information together. Within the Project Server tool, within Project Online, as you propose new applications, new products that you're thinking about deploying, as you are doing demand management and innovation management, people can use that Project Center within the tool to propose new ideas for work and then to start workflowing them through. So if I go in to that tool, it's going to open up Project Server or Project Online here. I go into Microsoft Project Center. And I can propose through this tool new ideas for work. And I click on new up there. I have an option right now to propose, for example, a new internal readiness project or a new marketing campaign or a new product development or new other types of work or demand that we're going to capture. What you do with that from within this tool is entirely up to you as you do the deployment of the tool and you build workflows around these different processes. So these don't ship with the product. We ship the product with a couple of standard ones for an enterprise project or what we call a visibility mode project. These are ones that I've built out for demonstration purposes, but they're containers for a workflow, for maybe a series of business case documents that you need to complete, for a series of approvals that need to happen as the proposal for new work or a new idea or a new sales process, whatever you want to capture, is workflowed through as you build that. And then, finally, as that project or proposal has been approved, you might end up with a new project plan based on a template that's associated with that. So each one of these is known as an enterprise project type, an EPT, and can reflect a starting point within your organization for those different business processes. All right?
Just to add to that particular example, I want to share with you some of the experiences that I've had. So, certainly, you can manage that ideation process outside of project, right? An example in point is Red Robin. This restaurant chain, the CIO was very much interested in hearing from the restaurant workers. What are the things that can be done? Actually, it was the CEO and the CIO combined together. What are the things that can be done to improve the customer service, to improve the internal processes? And he used Yammer as one vehicle to get that feedback from the employees and then you know, drive change within the organization. And then it empowered, you know, everybody within the organization to chime in with their ideas. Well, similar concept here, you know, the functionality that Doug just showed, You know, you could use SharePoint Site to collect that feedback, or Yammer to collect that feedback. Once you got that feedback, you know, you can have a mechanism to prioritize that and then bring that into a project as an enterprise-level project and manage it from that point onward. So you can use the tool and the service either as a back-end or the front-end to be able to facilitate that application lifecycle development, that agile software development process that you might have a template within the organization to be able to do exactly that. It provides you with the flexibility to use it the way you want to use it. Did that help? Any other questions? Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yeah, the governance and control, yep. Mm-hmm.
You guys on that, because we're on-prem right now, what do you offer in the way of reassurances around service level agreements around performance and response? Not just for regions, but for globally. We tend to have issues around one region, everything's wonderful, and another region is terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you get all the beautiful things around portfolio management, but you can't get them unless you get
PM certification. Right. So the question is around reliability of the service, what level of SLA that Microsoft has with you. So the SLA that I think is 999, I think the service performance is on Office 365 Trust Center. That website is public. Where I would encourage you to go there, and it has a particular section in there that talks about our performance history, and then you can see historically how we have performed for each of the workloads that we offer online. The SLA is, I believe, 999, but I think our historical performance has been has exceeded the SLA. There are always going to be instances where you're providing a service where there are going to be hiccups, but from a company perspective, the investment has been in the data centers, in creating the nodes at the highly populated areas across the globe so that we go where the most users are to be able to provide that fast, reliable service and reduce the latency in getting to the data center. So if you put in the nodes, we're investing in dark fiber continuously. We are putting that infrastructure, and we already have that investment to be able to bring project online and then have those service improvements and the statistics that Ludo had already shared with you during the keynote. Yeah. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, sir.
So is the Office 365 connection when you go to the web, is it encrypted?
It's encryption at rest and encryption in transit. That's what Jared stated during the keynote. Yeah. Thank you. Are there any other questions? Thank you for coming. Really appreciate your feedback. And if you have additional questions that you were not able to ask, feel free to come up. Doug and I are here.
And team, for everybody in the room, there was some, we talked a bit about using resource plans to consume capacity. And just in the last couple of minutes, I consumed some capacity. So somebody standing in front of the projector, this gentleman over here. Yeah, so it's right. So I built I built a project plan called Support Activities. I took all my R resources for resource plan, if you would, put them in this, gave that a start finish date of 1st January till the end of December, and assigned them at varying levels of capacity to this support activities project. And if I flip over to the standard resource availability view here, assignment work by resource, we see this. We see the duration of the time frame I've got here, 1st January through to the end of December. I've picked those resources, and we see how their capacity has been consumed. If I scroll down to this list down there, there's that support activities project with a resource plan, which is actually consuming their time over the duration of that year. So I've immediately impacted this team's availability to work on other projects by simply placing them in a resource plan. And again, that took me all of about 2 minutes to do, very, very quick and fast and efficient way to consume capacity within your team so that you got a better reflection within project plans of their true availability. And you remember that one question about how do we vary it? Well, maybe this particular resource for the months of April, May, and June, maybe I want to say 100% working on support activities because they're going to work on a special project. And again, the level of granularity that you choose here is going to help you with kind of forward thinking, right? This is a rough estimate as to how much of their time is not available.